as you hold on to the word of life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is on this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. I speak to you in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking today about three of the four things many of us have learned were not to be spoken of in polite company: politics, religion, and money. I grew up in an environment that clearly conveyed the message that talking about money was not something one did. Like most, ours was a very middle-class family. My dad worked, my mom was an artist who did her work at home. I don't remember ever really wanting for anything, at least not anything that was less than a luxury. As a little girl, I shared a room with my sister. Our mom made us new clothes every school year. We had everything we needed and much of what we wanted. We weren't poor, nor did we have an embarrassment of riches. So, what was wrong with talking about money? I'm still not sure. One of the reasons may be that we're uncomfortable with the disparity of income in our communities, in our country, in the world. The COVID crisis exposed that disparities in ways we've never had to look at before. Those of us with desk jobs set up shop at home and continued on with our work, continued on receiving our paychecks, continued on paying our bills on time. But the restaurant owners and the shopkeepers and the landscape workers and the house cleaners and so many others all had to stop working and all stopped being paid. The people who lived on the edges of financial stability were the ones most hurt and continue to be the ones most hurt by the financial impacts of COVID. That is just plain wrong, and we know it, and that makes us uncomfortable. So maybe that's why we don't want to talk about money. Recently, I came to understand yet another reason people don't like to talk about money, through a friend for whom I have great regard. Although he didn't realize it as a child because everyone around him was in the same boat, he grew up very poor. Life was difficult. But dwelling on the difficulties only made things worse. Struggle isn't a story most people want to tell. Struggle isn't a story most people want to listen to. Maybe that's another reason we don't want to talk about money. It isn't just the people who grew up poor who don't want to talk about money. There are very wealthy people who don't want to talk about money because they fear it will make other people feel bad, feel less valuable, or less important. That makes really good sense in a culture that promotes having more and more and more. A culture that says your worth as a human somehow equates to your financial net worth. It's probably another reason we don't want to talk about money. Talking about how much money you make or made or lost is one thing. But talking about money can be a lot of other things too. Jesus talked about money all the time. In fact, money and possessions come up more than 800 times in Scripture. I cannot recall a Scripture passage in which Jesus asked anybody how much money they made, but he did talk about what people ought to do and ought not to do with their money and their stuff. It seemed to be something very important to him, and I have been thinking a lot about why that is. Money has a great deal of power in our culture, whether or not we are people of faith. And anything with that much power, enough power to effectively embarrass or shame us into silence, really does need to be explored through the lens of our faith. How does our faith inform what we do and don't do with our money? How does our faith inform what we do and don't do to make our money? How does our faith inform where we will or where we won't invest our money? How does our faith inform whether we do or don't think of that money as ours? Jesus had something to say about all those things. If you would be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. If then you have not been faithful with dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And then there's that line from the Hebrew Scriptures you hear me say every Sunday: all things come from you, O Lord, and of your own have we given you. Yes, there is a lot of talk about money in the Bible, and today we're offered an opportunity to listen to what Jesus had to say, not just about money, but about religion and politics too. That ought to be a good conversation. So let's remember where we are in Matthew's Gospel. It's the day after Jesus rode into Jerusalem to waving palm branches and shouts of Hosanna, the day after he turned over the money changers' tables in the temple, much to the chagrin of the chief priests and elders. He'd been teaching in parables that pointed out the folly of the religious authorities who were trying to figure out how to get rid of him without being attacked by his followers. So they decided to outwit him, to trap him, to force him into saying something that would either allow them to have him arrested or destroy his credibility and turn his followers against him by asking a question about money, religion, and politics. Whose head is on this coin and whose title? Remember that Palestine was occupied by Rome at this point, and that Jews paid all sorts of taxes, one of which was the tax Jesus asked about here, the imperial tax. This tax was paid not just to Rome, but as a tribute to Rome. And the money was actually used to support the oppressors, the political leaders, the Roman occupiers of the day. The tax was controversial, to say the least. It was paid with a particular coin, a denarius engraved with an icon of Caesar Tiberius and words that roughly translated, "Name him the Son of God." You can see where the problem lies for the religious folks. Think about the first two commandments. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And you shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." "Show me the money," Jesus says. "Whose head is on this coin and whose title?" "The emperor's," they all reply. At which point Jesus told them to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to give to God what belongs to God. "Yes, we know all that. But what does that mean? What did it mean for them? What does it mean for us?" First century Palestinian Jews could hardly conceive of a separation of church and state. Caesar's image and his divine title having been engraved on the money really brought religion and politics together. In responding to his questioners, I think Jesus was suggesting that religious life and civic life actually do belong together. If we do indeed believe that God is the God of everything and that everything is of God, then we have to believe our civic lives, lives that involve paying taxes and earning and spending and voting, all of that belongs to God too. If God is the God of everything, and everything is of God, and that is what we profess, then nothing is separate, and everything belongs. "All things come of you, O Lord. All things." When Jesus asked the crowd whose head was on the coin, the Greek word he used was icon. A word that translates more properly as likeness. It's the same word we find in Genesis, when God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." And for me, that's the crux of the story. You and I were made in the image and likeness of God. Every precious human being everywhere was made in the image and likeness of God. And because we are made in God's image, we are to be God's likeness in the world. Everything we do, including the way we treat people, the way we care for creation, the way we use our money, the way we vote, is to be in the image and likeness of a loving God. As it turns out, politics and religion and money really are all things we need to talk about, and particularly in church. That's not to say anyone has a right to tell us what to do or where to use our money or how to vote. But it is to say that we need God's palpable presence in these conversations. We need God's love and grace and tenderness and compassion for all that God has created to inform every single decision we make, whether it's something as seemingly trivial as what to have for dinner, or something as profoundly important as how we use our money or how we vote. God is in all of it, or wants to be. Amen.